In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we hear this parable that the Lord tells about this rich man who has so many things that he has to tear down his old barns and build bigger ones so that he can store everything. We see that this man clearly misses the point of this life, which is about learning how to love God and to love other people. All he learns to do is to love himself. But the Lord, in summarizing his lesson here, says, "So he who lays up treasure for himself, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The problem is not only that this man laid up treasure for himself. That was a problem, that was his single focus in life, that he was obsessed with amassing more and more wealth, and that he obviously didn't share that with anyone else. But not only that, but he is not rich towards God. This is what the Lord says: he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This first part, laying up treasure for ourselves, is bad enough. But even worse is not being rich towards God. Because we have to recognize, brothers and sisters, that that's really the point of this life: to become rich towards God, to invest in our relationship with the Lord, to amass a great treasury of grace. The Lord's always giving it to us. But what do we do with it? We squander it. But let's not squander it. Let's take it and keep it and guard it and cultivate it and make more from it. Because this is what the Lord desires us to do, and he enables us to do it. He tells this again and again in so many parables, you know. He gives a few talents, and then he expects us to make more talents. He gives us the seed that we need, but he expects us to work the soil so that we can bring forth fruit. It's simply the case, brothers and sisters, that we're made for God. We were created, God, the Lord created us for himself, to belong to him, for our hearts to long for him, for us to love nothing more than to draw near to him. This is what our life is for. And our God is our greatest riches. So do we often think of him? Do we get distracted from other activities throughout the day because of the thought of the Lord? Or is it not the opposite, that we go and stand before our icon corner to say our prayers and we hardly think about the Lord at all? It should be the other way around. We should be distracted. We should be, you know, in the midst of our duties, and all of a sudden we're daydreaming about the Lord. This is what it looks like. St. Porphyrios says, you know, it's like the little girl who's sitting in class, and she's in love with the boy in her class, and her teacher is going on, and all she can think about is this boy, Nick. All she can think about is Nick, St. Porphyrios says. He says we should be like that with the Lord Jesus Christ. All we can think about is our Lord and his goodness and his love and his mercy, all the wonderful things that he's done for us. But instead, we're constantly meditating on our own selfish desires and the distractions of this world. Do we meditate on how we can please the Lord? Do we consider how we can show him love? How we can draw closer to him? Or setting aside even what we can do, you know, because it's even our relationship with him isn't just about what we can do. Far more than that, it's about recognizing what he does for us and praising him for that and thanking him for that, being thankful and glorifying him beyond anything else. Do we ever just meditate on the beauty and the majesty and the sublime glory of God and just bask in his mercy? Just, you know, like somebody out on a beautiful sunny day, maybe not so cold as this, taking in the rays of the sun. You know, do we do that with the Lord's love and his mercy? Just bask in it. Do we ever thank him from the bottom of our heart, from the depths of our soul, with tears because we're so grateful for his mercy to us, for saving us from all the things that he saved us from, for healing us from all the things that he's healed us of. How do we respond, in other words, to our Lord when he comes knocking? How do we respond when the fast comes along? It's time to fast. Like this fast that we're in now. How do we respond? Do we dread it? Our flesh dreads it. Our flesh doesn't want to fast. So the question is, are we more attuned to the flesh or to the spirit? Do we follow the demands of the flesh or do we seek to nourish our spirit? Being rich towards God means cultivating a real zeal for spiritual things. Zeal. Warmth is what that word means. Zeal, right? We're not going to stay warm by accident. It takes cultivation. If you're trying to get a fire going, and especially if the materials that you're using are damp, it's difficult. You have to really attend to it. You know, be attentive and blow on it and keep, you know, stripping apart little bits of paper and kindling and things to get the fire going. And this is how it is for us in our spiritual life. We have to cultivate zeal. Do we cultivate a deep longing for purification? Do we recognize how wonderful it is and how wonderful it would be to be completely purified, washed completely clean, to be cleansed of all of our passions, just to let everything go and completely give our heart and soul to the Lord, entrust ourselves completely to him, distracted and pulled apart by the things of this world, not being double-minded, you know, limping back and forth, like the prophet says. How long will you limp back and forth between Baal and God? Let's not limp back and forth. Let's belong completely to the Lord. Do we cultivate this single-mindedness? Do we cultivate a godly humility? A hunger for humility, being sick of our pride, just sick of it. Can't stand it anymore. Can't stand vanity anymore. So let me cultivate humility. This is what it means to be rich towards God. Learning to love to fast, and above all, to love to pray. To be rich towards God means to love to pray. To yearn for that moment when we can put aside all of the distractions of this world and just give our full attention to the Lord. And even if it seems nearly impossible because constantly things keep coming up, whether it's external things or internal things, the thoughts that distract us or the people all around us. We're not complaining about the people. We're not complaining about our duties. But what we're saying is that we must continually seek to give our attention back to the Lord. Okay, attend to what you need to attend to and then come back to the Lord. This is what it is to cultivate richness, to be rich towards the Lord, to have spiritual riches. This is what we're seeking. The problem with being obsessed with things, the things of this world, is that those obsessions block all desire. They create barricades between us and the desire for an interest in the things of God. It's like someone who only listens to, or only has listened to, only has cultivated a taste for pop music. And then they hear classical music and they, like, what is this? They don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It's boring. They can't recognize the depths to it. Whereas someone who has cultivated a deep appreciation for the classical music can hear the pop music and can understand it, can recognize musically what's going on, the chord progressions, you know, and here's kind of the climax of the song, and here's how it resolves, and all of that. They can understand it. They recognize that it's much more simplistic, of course, but they can understand it, and they can appreciate it for what it is. Now, tomorrow is the Feast of the entrance of the Mother of God into the temple. Today is the fourth feast of the entrance. And there's no greater example. There's no greater example of one who lived her life being rich towards God than the Mother of God, the Theotokos. From her earliest years, she was dedicated to the Lord. We know that Saints Joachim and Anna, her parents, received her as a gift from God, having prayed fervently that the Lord would grant them a child, being barren for many years, having no child. They begged her of the Lord. And so she came clearly as a gift. They were absolutely clear about that. And because they recognized that this was a response to their prayer and that God was giving her to them as a gift, they responded with great gratitude and they dedicated her back to the Lord. And so from her earliest years, they recognized she belongs to the Lord. But not only did they recognize that, Saints Joachim and Anna, but Mary herself, from the incredibly young age of 3, knew this, knew that she belonged to the Lord, and recognized that, understood it. And so when her parents brought her, at the age of 3, to the temple to dedicate her, she went running ahead of them, and she ran up the 15 steps into the temple, and straight to the priest, who was her relative, Zechariah, and he received her, and she grew up dwelling in the temple. For the rest of her childhood, that's where she lived. She lived a life of simplicity and quiet joy and taking delight in the Lord, having all of her riches in the Lord, completely invested in her relationship with the Lord. Now, most of us didn't have a childhood and teenage years quite like that, but that's okay. We can now, wherever we are in our life, follow her example. Follow the example of the Theotokos, which is to say yes to God. Yes, Lord. Yes to God's purpose for us. Yes to Christ. Yes, Lord, I belong to you. And I choose this. I want to belong to you. I want to be rich towards you. I want to love you more than I love the stuff of this world. So we have the Theotokos as an example of how to build up our spiritual treasury and be rich towards God. But not only that. Also, she herself is a priceless diamond to put in our treasury. The greatest of the saints, we call her. Or, in other words, the Holy of Holies. The holiest of all. But along with her, all of the saints are great treasures that we can collect and put in our treasury. Not like, you know, some kind of inanimate object. But when we draw near to them and when we have a close relationship with the Mother of God and all of the saints, then the grace that they've cultivated in their own life, they share with us. It's a great blessing and joy and transformation. It's transformative to draw close to all of the saints. So I offer the Mother of God in particular to all of you, dear ones, on this forefeast of her feast. And I commend to you to draw close to her, to draw near to her, to receive her, to partake of the riches that she has to offer us. This evening and tomorrow we celebrate her feast. And this is what I say, let's prioritize the celebration of her feast and all of her feasts. Let's prioritize taking the opportunity to draw near to our mother, our spiritual mother, to draw near to her and to receive what she has to offer us. How can we be rich towards God if we don't rush to embrace and participate in the banquets that He prepares for us, the feasts of the church? If we don't make time for the services of the church, if we don't make time for the Mother of God. And I believe that we can't be mature Orthodox Christians without a close relationship with the Theotokos. Someone will say, of course, but it's God who saves us. God saves us. Why is she so important? Of course, it's God who saves us. No one would deny that. not anyone who's Orthodox, least of all the Mother of God or any of the saints, no one would deny that it's God who saves us. But can you be a mature Christian? Let me ask you this. Can you be a mature Christian while having immature relationships with the people around you? We are to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, but then we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we have to cultivate a mature relationship with all those around us. Can you love God without loving your brother? The apostle says, no, you can't. He who says he loves God but doesn't love his brother is a liar. So can you love God without loving his mother and your mother? Can you love God without loving your mother? No. How could this be? Because genuine love for God overflows into love for all others, and first of all, our dear mother, the Mother of God. And it's through her intercessions and by her help and by the help of all of the saints that we come to true maturity in the faith. So we must cultivate that relationship. It's something of the highest order for us. Can you be rich towards God? We could ask again. If you ignore the messenger that he sends to visit you and bring you his gifts of grace, and we say no. We can't be rich towards God if we ignore the messenger that he sends to us, the one to whom he entrusts all of these riches as the steward to share them with others. There are many opportunities to draw close to the Theotokos throughout the year. We have paraklesis services, the akathis to the Mother of God during Great Lent, and of course, all of her feast days. The Dormition is another Pascha. Really, we should love it as much as we love Pascha. It's so glorious, the Dormition of the Mother of God. Yet it often seems to me like these celebrations are forgotten, or at least they seem sparsely attended. Are we receiving the great riches that the Lord is sending to us every day and in countless ways, and first and foremost through the divine services? Or are we too busy with the contents of our earthly barns? God forbid, may we never hear these words of the Lord spoken about us, that we laid up our treasures for ourselves, but were not rich towards God. Rather, with our whole life, with our souls, with our bodies, with all our being, may we glorify the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.